Voices of freedom, that's just what it's all about. This is about freedom. This is about freedom. They're trying to take our liberty, our freedom away. Because, the thing is that they're probably much more afraid of us than we are of them.
Welcome, everybody, to Voices for Freedom. My name is Claire Deeks, and I'm a qualified lawyer and health advocate here in New Zealand. And today I am speaking with Rainer Füllmich. He is a German lawyer who's qualified in both the US and Germany. He's a top trial lawyer. He has taken on big companies' fraudulent activity in the past over, it's more than two decades. More recently, of course, he has become aware of the massive fraud that's been carried out in respect of the COVID-19 response around the world, and has really taken a leading role, which is very helpful for those of us other lawyers globally to coordinate and to take a case in Germany that will be interesting to hear more about. So it's really an honor to have you here, Rainer, and thank you so much for taking time out. I think, do you actually even sleep at this point?
No, it's not. First of all, I'm honored to be with you, and I'm honored to have a chance to talk to your people. And most of my colleagues, we don't really work around the clock. It's not quite 24/7, but it is a lot of work because there's not enough lawyers who are ready to take on these corona issues. There's too many lawyers who, despite the fact that they see their clients dying, economically dying, small and medium-sized corporations dying, they still don't take on these corona issues. That'll change though, because if people don't stand up for their rights, it's only going to be a matter of time until the what they now call platforms like Amazon will take over all these small and medium-sized businesses' market shares. The first thing that you have to educate people about is that this has never been about health. It looks as though this is about health. It looks as though there's a pandemic, just like 12 years ago with the swine flu, which most people have forgotten. The same players who made the swine flu into a pandemic are trying to do it this time again, and they've gotten much further ahead than they did last time. Last time, my friend Wolfgang Wodak, Dr. Wodak, who was then in a position of power because he was a member of the German parliament, but he was also a member of the European Council, the Council of Europe. He was able to, well, demask these people before things got out of hand completely. However, then too, because of the panic that was being spread by these very same people, people were eventually convinced that the only way to get out of this is by getting vaccinated. And of course, as we all know now, these vaccines were bought by the world's governments. And for a lot of money, the contracts, the underlying contracts are still being kept secret. Then it turned out it's just a mild flu. Then all these vaccines had to be destroyed, but still, thousands and thousands of people got vaccinated. Luckily, in Germany, most doctors who were supposed to do it refused to do it, or rather they informed their patients as to the dangers, as to the adverse side effects of these vaccines. So that most of the Germans weren't really injured. But throughout Scandinavia, I think 1,300 children were vaccinated. And they're permanently disabled because they suffer from narcolepsy.
I think it is interesting if people can compare what happened with swine flu and now.
The thing is that that was the first thing that when I, my wife and I were in California at the time, from early February of 2020 through the end of May, we were there. And when I first heard the news from my friends and my relatives, when we talked on the phone or by FaceTime or WhatsApp, I just couldn't believe it. And I had forgotten all about the swine flu. Then, in order to get a better understanding of what was going on, I spoke to my friend Wolfgang Wodak, and he explained to me, this is like just like the swine flu. It looks a little bit worse because in the meantime, the same players the people who invested their money into the pharmaceutical industry and the tech industry this time invested lots and lots of money in the media, in the mainstream media. Had they not done this, this whole thing would have been stopped a long time ago. Because after he then told me about a film that was made 12 years ago, I think you can still see it on YouTube, and my friend Howard Steen has supplied it with English subtitles. It's called Profiteers of Fear. I think it's still on YouTube. If you want me to, I'll forward it to you. I'll forward the link to you. And that is an eye opener, because it looks and sounds as though the story is being told about what's going on today. But of course, this is 12 years ago. Again, same players. And he then said, we've got to get in touch with the other lawyers, because it's only the lawyers who can stop this. Well, the thing is, first, you have to find the other lawyers. And there's so many people out there who don't dare, even though they believe that something is fishy, something is wrong, they don't dare take these corona clients because they don't want to lose their mainstream clients. So it was a while. And then my wife and I flew back. We got in touch with my friend Viviana Fischer, and she and I, plus two other lawyers, founded the Corona Investigative Committee in Berlin. That was on July 10th of last year. And we started to interview experts, internationally renowned experts from every field that plays a role in this. Immunologists, epidemiologists, economists, lawyers, all kinds of scientists. And we asked three basic questions. One, how dangerous is this virus? Two, how dangerous are the anti-corona measures, the lockdowns, mask wearing requirements, social distancing, et cetera? What do they do to the health of the population and to the economy? And the third question is, how reliable are the PCR tests? Well, question number one is easily answered, because in the meantime, even the WHO has admitted that the actual danger of whatever we have here, is it the coronavirus? Is it the flu that was labeled a new pandemic, a new corona pandemic? Whatever we have here is no more dangerous than the common flu, because the infection fatality rate is at 0.14, which is about the same as that of the common flu. We have had no excess deaths here in Germany, and that is true for most of the world. There are some places in this world that had spikes, like Bergamo in Italy, Brescia in Italy, and New York, of course. But as we know now, most of this has to do with medical malpractice. The next question is, how much damage do the anti-corona measures do? Now, this is like World War III. Everybody agrees on this. Suicide rates are skyrocketing. Domestic violence is skyrocketing. People are dying of other causes that are related to the measures, because they don't get the medical care that they need. And on top of this comes the economic disaster. All of these small and medium-sized businesses, in particular, restaurants, hotels, retail businesses, they're all being wiped out. And if they don't stand up now, it's going to be too late. We still have a chance, and I think more and more people are beginning to ask questions. So the actual danger of the virus is not any worse than that of the flu, of the seasonal flu. The damage that the anti-corona measures are doing is immeasurable. And the third question is, how reliable are these PCR tests? Now, this whole thing started in Germany. You have to keep this in mind. The propaganda started in Germany, because they picked us as a sort of a role model. They wanted the rest of the world to see, if you do as the Germans do, you know, the Germans are very disciplined, then you're going to get through this more or less unscathed. But if you don't do as the Germans do, then you're going to end up like the Italians. So this is where it started. And they picked the same person who started the swine flu pandemic, a guy by the name of Drosten, Professor Drosten. He's the German equivalent of the American Dr. Fauci. He's a complete fake. He's he claims that he is a doctor of medicine, but he isn't. His dissertation was, from what we know now, was faked in 2020 because more and more people got interested in who is this guy. Turns out it was faked in 2020. Now, if you can't believe the academic background of a person, then you're going to have to start questions about how true is what he tells us about the PCR test, which he invented. Now, this goes back to a paper, a protocol, that he and a bunch of his colleagues published on January 23rd. And this protocol claims that the Drosten PCR test is capable of detecting infections. And that is not true, because no PCR test can tell you anything about infections. PCR tests are great, but they are a means of amplifying stuff that you can't see. Fragments that are being you take with the swabs and you can't see, the human eye can't see it. So you put them into a machine and then you magnify them. That's called amplification. However, these tests cannot distinguish between live and dead matter. And they cannot tell if whatever it tests positive to is something that has entered the cells and only then is someone infectious to other people, or if it's just found in the nasal area or someplace and hasn't entered the cells yet. Then it's something that most of us have immune systems that are intact. They can easily deal with it. So these tests cannot tell you anything about infections. Even the WHO admits it in the meantime, in particular not when they're set at 45 cycles, which means it's been magnified billions of times. Because at that point, even at 35 cycles, everybody agrees you get at least 97% false positives. So it cannot tell you anything about infections. And that's what the lawsuits are all about, that we are filing in Germany, that our American colleagues filed in New York. If that turns out to be true, that they cannot tell you anything about infection, then the whole house of cards is going to come down. Because the other promise or assessment that Drosten came up with is that there are asymptomatic infections, meaning people who look completely healthy, who don't show any symptoms, are still dangerous to you. That's why we have to keep them at bay. We have to stay away from them. You have to wear masks. And that is not true either. There's a new study out at the end of last year. It came out. It's a Chinese study from Wuhan, and it involved 400,000 people. And it says there's no such thing as asymptomatic infections. And even those people who believe that there are asymptomatic infections, like Fauci, agree that they don't play any role as far as infections as a whole are concerned.
I know originally they changed the definition of pandemic.
To be defined as a serious disease that spreads around the world, one, with serious cases of illness and many deaths. And then they cut out the serious cases of illness and the many deaths. Now you have a disease that spreads around the globe. Any flu can be made into a pandemic. That's as simple as it is. And this is something that the World Health Organization redefined in just when they made the swine flu into a pandemic. And of course, the only people who actually had an advantage of this, you know, follow the money, is the pharmaceutical industry, of course.
I'm confused why more lawyers don't come forward, though, because what we're taught in law school is, you know, you've got to look at the facts and you've got to... you've got to find the relevant fact. For example, in Bergamo, you had particular vaccines that were put into the population prior. You had, yes, according to some information I've seen, in incredibly low levels of vitamin D. People are then making assumptions about it's all based on these measures. It's all related to lockdown, to distancing, to mask wearing. When we've seen, even as between states, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Florida, New York, it doesn't correlate. It just feels like you're banging your head against a wall with all of this stuff, and that people, the power of the media to just overwhelm people with these big sounding statistics, even just the number of people that die, for example, on a daily basis. I don't think people put the corona deaths in that context.
Well, there's also a lot of incentive, a lot of financial incentive all over the world, both in the hospitals and for individual physicians, to relabel someone who is sick with or who has had a heart attack or something as a COVID case. And they're getting paid in Germany. Doctors are getting paid between 100 and 150 euros if they relabel in someone's death certificate, if they state that the person who may have been run over by a truck died of COVID. That's how it works. We have this whistleblower tool on our website. The Corona Committee has this whistleblower tool on our website. And we're getting all these doctors and people who run hospitals who are giving us this information. We're getting additional information about forced vaccinations, which are, of course, illegal in most countries, in Germany in particular, because of our past, because that's what happened in World War II. That's what they did to the Jewish population, these medical experiments. So that's completely illegal unless you, as a patient, unless you consent to the treatment. And this consent is only valid if you're first being informed about what's being done to you, including the adverse side effects that may be a result of this. Now, these new vaccines are not even vaccinations. What they're doing is it's a genetic experiment. And since they have been invented in a very short period of time, normally the invention, the production of a new drug, in particular, a new vaccine, takes between 8 and 10 years, and in some cases, much, much longer. There's, even today, there's no vaccination against HIV, but usually it takes between 8 and 10 years, maybe 7 and 8 years, but you can't do that in 8 or 10 months, which is what happened here. So nobody knows about the side effects. Nobody knows about the efficacy. All the numbers are probably fake. So we have come to the conclusion that any doctor who vaccinates a person will automatically commit battery, because the consent that the patient may have given to him is always invalid, because there's no basis for the consent, because the information that the patient first got never includes anything about the side effects.
One thing I find, though, I feel like actually a lot of information is out there. They just bury it, so that either the statistics can be easily manipulated, and that testing, I think this was the Pfizer one, is based on the PCR test. So since they're not basing it on real world infection, it's a test. So there's just so many layers upon layers of which there can be an issue.
You know, the thing is, all of these organizations have, even the WHO, they have really good people working for them. But the people at the top, they're the ones who are the corrupt people. They're the ones who are trying to manipulate us. But if you look at what the CDC published, like, for example, here's something that was published in, I think, September. Yeah, this is a CDC revision paper of September 29th. On page 38, it says, detection of viral RNA may not indicate the presence of infectious virus, or that 2019 nCoV is the causative agent for clinical symptoms. Meaning, if you're positive, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean that you're infectious. And the last bullet point says, this test cannot rule out diseases caused by other bacterial or viral pathogens. What does that mean? It means that if you have symptoms, if you have no symptoms, you're healthy. But if you have symptoms and you're tested positive, doesn't mean you have COVID. Could be the common flu, could be a serious cold, could be something else.
It is acknowledged by the, I think, Pfizer and maybe the Moderna mRNA virus, that it hasn't been tested specifically for stopping transmission, which is...
Yes. The thing about the first vaccine that was admitted here in Germany, at least, the BioNTech-Pfizer vaccine is, and we got this from a whistleblower who works at a university hospital in Hamburg. The German doctor of the year, Professor Marilyn Addo is her name, she informed other university hospitals of the fact that there are really serious adverse effects. After the first vaccination, 20% serious adverse effects. After the second dose, 80%. That's 20% serious fever and 60% serious shivers. Now, if you vaccinate the most vulnerable group first, that means people who live in a nursing home, whose immune systems are in some cases not in good shape. If you vaccinate these people and they show these side effects, it's going to kill them. And that's what's happening all over the world in nursing homes. They're trying to keep the lid on this, but it's coming out, and we're getting all these different pieces of information from all over the world, including Israel, and Spain, and even in Berlin, where we have our Corona committee sessions, we're getting these informations. Plus, we're getting pictures of what's happening in there, with sometimes even soldiers guarding this whole thing, which is totally unheard of.
I think last week was there 20 or more deaths in a Danish rest home in one go.
23 in Norway.
Oh, Norway, that was it, yes.
Yeah.
But even so, there's not mass outrage, because that's quickly made to sound like, oh, well, first of all, that wasn't related to the vaccine. It's funny how... It's funny how if you know, the vaccine, that isn't a correlation. When you get the PCR and you're symptom free, that definitely means that you have COVID. It's all very convenient. But yeah, they did manage to have that on our mainstream press, but there's no big outrage about it as far as I can see, because they managed to excuse it away. And they already, of course, primed people for this by saying literally that, don't worry if you hear of a lot of deaths, because these are the vulnerable population. I think they've said that the average age of death that's attributed to COVID is higher than the average age of death.
Than your average life expectancy. And that's another thing that's really disturbing, because at the very beginning of this, the German RKI, which is the equivalent of the American CDC, they gave out an order not to conduct any autopsies. What is that? How do you find out what people died of? Now, unless you conduct an autopsy. Now, there's a doctor in Hamburg, a professor by the name of Pischel. He's now retired. But he said, this is unheard of. We're still going to conduct autopsies. So he did that. And he found, of course, that the average age of the people who died, first of all of them had very serious comorbidities. All of them died of other causes than COVID-19. And all of them were way beyond their average life expectancy. So they would have died anyway. I mean, this is a sad story, but still, you have to stick to the facts. They would have been killed by the common flu as well.
Those of us who are accused of being kind of the granny killers or worse, I would say, the very people that you are supporting are more likely to be going to harm your grandparents. Like you're saying, well, you have to assess the actions taken, such as lockdown. We've seen how inhumane that is. Never mind the...
And completely useless. Completely useless. There's a new study out by the most quoted scientist in the world. His name is Professor John Ioannidis of Stanford University, right around the corner from where we live in California. And he and his colleagues found that all of these measures, including and most of all the lockdown, have absolutely no effect on what's going on. You mentioned North Dakota and South Dakota. If you look at all the at all the 50 states in the United States, it makes no difference whether you have a lockdown or not. The virus is going to go through. You're always going to have the same amount of people who die from it and who get sick of it. It's nothing to do with the lockdowns. On the contrary, the lockdown is extremely dangerous. WHO confirmed this. One of their British members confirmed that the lockdown is extremely dangerous. It makes poor people even poorer. People who are isolated are even more isolated. There's two different levels on which we're arguing this case, so to speak. The first level is the health issue, how dangerous is the virus, et cetera. And the second level is, if it's not as dangerous as they claim, then what's really going on? Is it true that through this great reset, they're trying to take over the corporate oligarchs, are trying to take over our medium and small businesses, in particular the restaurant business, the hotel business, the retail business. But the first level, you have to take a look at it and check it out. You have to make people understand what is really going on. How dangerous is this virus? And then you look at the PCR test. Then you look at one of the people who is a very well-known scientist. We listened to him in our Corona committee. He's the former Pfizer CEO by the name of Mike Yeadon, great guy. And he says, let me quote this to you. He says that the tests are so flawed. Here it is. This test is fatally flawed and must, four capital letters, immediately be withdrawn and never used again in this setting unless shown it to be fixed. And his paper ends with the following, and I think it is absolutely true, at least that's what we found in our Corona committee hearings. I have explained how a hopelessly performing diagnostic test has been and continues to be used not for diagnosis of disease, but it seems solely to create fear. That's the whole point of it. If people weren't panicking, and this was done on purpose, they wouldn't go along with these measures. They would think and they would come to the conclusion that we came to in our Corona committee hearings. They would think and they would come to the conclusion there's nothing to it. This is no different from what we have every year. Maybe it's a little more serious, or maybe it's a little less serious than the common flu usually is, but it is no more dangerous. And once you come to this conclusion, you are able to think about the other question. What's going on? Is it true that they're trying to take over, that this is a massive takeover attempt by the corporate oligarchs?
I agree. And obviously, if anybody spends any time, and you don't have to actually do corporate espionage to figure this out, you literally can go to the websites of the different bodies involved, World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, United Nations.
There's nobody who, none of the people who are in this have been elected by anyone. There is no oversight by the voters. This is completely disconnected from us, the voters. We voted for our politicians, and we didn't realize that through these meetings, our politicians have fallen prey to the corporate interests. Well, some of them play along because they like it, because they like the money, because they like the power that they get through these, I'm always going to say oligarchs, through these corporate players, the self-appointed corporate elite on the one hand and the self-appointed political elite on the other hand. And they're the ones who should be acting in our best interest, but the politicians, but they're acting in the best interests of these corporate elites.
I don't think necessarily every parliamentarian and every government has an idea of what's going on. No.
No, absolutely not.
But there will be particular people who are able to move policy in a certain direction who do. And then there will be others who are seeking to be re-elected. And I know you had a panic paper.
Yes. Yeah, it was leaked. It was leaked, but it was published by the Department of the Interior. And it explicitly calls for making children feel responsible for the and I'm quoting verbatim, for the tortured deaths of their parents and grandparents because they didn't wash their hands or didn't wear their masks. Now, this is insane. This is Dr. Mengele speaking to us.
We really want to encourage people to have courageous conversations, to step up, speak out. Why you?
I asked myself this question when I first spoke with my Canadian colleagues, guys who filed the first class action for damages, which is going to turn into an international class action complaint. And I realized when I spoke to them, what am I doing here? I mean, I'm a lawyer. I practice law in Germany. I have lots of experience going up against fraudulent corporations like Deutsche Bank, VW, or world's largest shipping company, Kühne & Nagel. But what am I doing here? And it turns out that I was probably well equipped for this, because instead of going up against one corporation, now we're going up against most of the corporations, including Silicon Valley. So even though I was in a way shocked at how this whole thing was developing into mass hysteria, I wasn't completely shocked because I remembered much of what was going on. I remember my own rage when I was in a court of law here in Germany, and realizing that the judges were on the side of the corporations, in particular Deutsche Bank or VW, because this is an export-oriented nation. Our car industry is really important. And it's only then that I began to realize how extremely influential these corporations' lobbyists are. They lobby politicians. Politicians then use their influence to exert it over the judiciary. That goes through the presidents of the courts, who write personal assessments for all of the individual judges who work for them. Now, they don't write, if you decide against VW, you're going to lose this job. No, it's a little less obvious, but it's clear that there is pressure being applied. And in fact, one of my friends who is the president of one of the courts here, one of the leading courts here, he tells me just as much. And then I looked at what was going on with Corona. And I noticed that there were not just these annual meetings of the World Economic Forum where all these people meet, but the year before last year, in May of 2019, there was another meeting by the leading political party in this country, the CDU, Christian Democratic Union. And this meeting was called, it was a conference that was called Global Health Something. Now, you would expect all the high-powered people of this party being there, including Angela Merkel, our Secretary of Health, Jens Spahn, and some of the others. But there was also Professor Drosten, the guy who invented the infamous Drosten test, which was then recommended to the entire world through the WHO, which is run by a person, his name is Tedros, who I think an American lawyer just filed a complaint against him in New York for genocide, because that's what his people in Ethiopia want to get him for. Now, that was a global health conference with Drosten, the guy who runs our RKI, the counterpart of Fauci, his name is Wheeler, Tedros was there, and the two chief lobbyists of the world's most important health funds were there. The Wellcome Trust on the one hand, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on the other hand. The very same people who 8 months later declared, oh, we have a pandemic. And now it turns out, the most important, the chief advisors of Angela Merkel is Drosten, Wheeler, and these two lobbyists of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Wellcome Trust. Now that tells you the whole story. Who's running the show? It's not Merkel. It's them.
All of that work that you did was preparing you for this.
In a way, yes.
I just am wondering what it is that makes the difference between people who can step up and speak out.
Well, that's interesting. My first instinct when I realized that there's something wrong, when my friend Wolfgang Wodak put me in touch with Ioannidis and some of the German professors, professors of medicine, professors of epidemiology, and the picture became clearer and clearer, and it began to look like this is the swine flu 2.0. I decided, I told my wife, let's stay here at the ranch. Let's stay here and sit this out. And then we'll come back after the dust has settled. Now, it turns out it's not possible, because very soon the same thing was happening out there at the ranch. I mean, where we live out in the boondocks, nobody gives a damn about masks or anything, because there's hardly any people. But as soon as you go to the city, because you have to go to the supermarket in order to buy groceries and stuff, then all of a sudden you're confronted with all this bullshit. And that's when my wife said, no, you know what to do. You can do it. You got to get in touch with your colleagues. We have to go back to Germany and get this going. And I think yeah, you're right. I was so angry at what was going on. I didn't want this to continue. And from my experience, I think, and I thought then, that I knew how to handle this. I knew how to get people going. I knew how to get my colleagues informed and how to motivate them to do something themselves. And the last, by the way, the last person we talked to is on our Corona committee is a psychiatrist by the name of Professor Lindner. And he says, the thing about democracy is, if you want a democracy, you need the people to run this democracy. And he quoted Thomas Jefferson, who, when he introduced the idea of democracy to the people who weren't used to democracy, who had fled from England, who said, are you crazy? Most people are too stupid for democracy. And he said, yeah, probably, but we have to educate them. What it takes in order to be able to live in a democracy is moral competence. Moral competence means you have to be able to ask questions. You have to be smart enough not to just accept what you're being told at face value, but to ask questions. Does it make sense? Is that really true? And the second element that it takes is you have to be able to engage in a conversation. You have to exchange political ideas. That's what politics is all about. The basis of democracy is not the right to vote. That's one of the consequences of democracy. But the basis of democracy is the exchange of ideas. You have to listen to the other side. And that never happened here. Our own Chancellor Merkel only listened to one side of the story, to that side of the story that promotes pharmaceutical and big tech's interests.
I think what's happened now, though, is people have woken up a lot to the fact that there's that it's not all about health, but they're too scared to speak about it. I mean, case in point, it's mandated at the moment, only masks on public transport and in domestic flights. So at the airport, everybody is there, crowded up, crowding into the lines. And then you get on the plane and everyone puts their mask. But not me and my son. It was a small plane, 10 people. You don't have to if you have, you know, an exemption or any condition which makes it unsuitable for you to wear masks. One thing I have a theory is the reason they have all around the world these exemptions is that ultimately you can get very sick from wearing this mask. So where there may be class action lawsuits or here, they can point to the fact that, oh, well, you didn't have to wear it. You could have not worn it.
Absolutely. Plus, there really are a lot of people out there, for example, people who suffer from asthma, who cannot wear masks. Speaking to the doctors, I have good friends who are doctors. They're telling me that people are suffering from all kinds of diseases, not just from re-inhaling carbon dioxide, but also from having skin rashes and stuff because it's very moist inside these masks. Another thing is, of course, that in particular, children have to breathe so much harder if they want to get some air because their lung volume is so much smaller. But that is definitely one of the reasons, or maybe the most important reason, that they're afraid that they're going to kill some people. And but what this is really about, once you realize this is not about health, then the mandatory masks, the mask wearing requirement is about subduing people of obedience. That's what it's all about. And if you look at how this whole thing unfolded, at first here in Germany, we had the lockdown in March, I think, when I was still in the States. Then came the masks, then came social distancing, or maybe it was the other way around. And everything led to the crescendo, which is, of course, vaccinations. Now, if you look at what vaccinations do, in particular, these mRNA vaccines, which are not vaccines, as I said, it's genetic engineering what's happening, or genetic experiments. If you look at what they do, it's probably about something completely different. We're gonna have to take a much closer look, but it looks as though one of the vaccine makers, Moderna, I think, they even published that they are capable of programming people through this vaccine, programming them like a computer. Now, that is scary. To a degree, that is probably possible. I don't know. As I said, we have to look, take a much closer look. We have to talk to some of the specialists in this field. We are talking to some of the specialists. One thing is for certain. Nobody knows about the long-term side effects of these vaccines. Nobody knows. All we know is that there's a whistleblower who tells us that the German doctor of the year, Professor Addo, tells us that the adverse effects after the second dose are extremely serious. 80%, that's a lot. If this was a medical trial, it would be stopped immediately. Well, you know what? This is a medical trial, yeah, exactly. Because no preclinical trials were conducted. No animal experiments were conducted. This is just phase 1, 2, and 3 human experiment. And that's what's going on right now. It's a trial.
Just in summary, what are the different kinds of legal actions that you're taking or recommending?
Well, the most important thing to understand is that these are not isolated lawsuit that we're filing, but this is a very coherent, coordinated effort, internationally coordinated effort. For example, our colleagues in New York filed a PCR test complaint. This is about school closures in New York, which were based on PCR test results, on all these positive test results. And they filed this complaint, and it includes a motion for a preliminary injunction. There was an oral hearing a couple of weeks ago, and my colleagues and the colleague who actually tried the case, his name is Ray Flores, he's a really good lawyer, they all said that the judge, even though he started out being very careful to outline the dangers of this pandemic, began to understand that the PCR test is probably not a basis for anything. So it looks as though we're going to get a ruling in our favor sometime this week. Oh. I filed a PCR test complaint for my friend Wolfgang Wodak because he was defamed. It's clad in a defamation suit. My friend Wolfgang Wodak was defamed by so-called fact checkers, which, as we all know now, have nothing to do with fact checking. You can buy them and pay them for slandering other people. And this particular group of fact checkers, of so-called fact checkers, defamed Wolfgang Wodak because they said he is lying when he says the PCR tests don't tell you anything about infections. And I filed it dressed as a defamation suit because the burden of proof is on the other side. Mm-hmm. He who says Wolfgang Wodak is lying has to prove that he's lying. Mm-hmm. They can't do that because the PCR test protocol, the so-called Dresden PCR test protocol, is such a piece of trash, as a group of 22 international scientists have concluded in their what is now called a retraction paper. It is such a piece of trash. It's so unscientific that the conclusion that they have reached is this was done on purpose so as to produce internationally as many false positives as possible, so that the people would believe that we have truckloads and truckloads of people who are infected.
So do you have another court case or multiple court cases in Germany
there's a group of judges, I think 30 judges and prosecutors who are kind of doing the same thing that we as lawyers are doing. They understand about all these issues, and they understand that this is not about health. And only a couple of days ago, one of them issued on January the 11th or so, he wrote a decision which details, and it's going to be very influential all over the world, which details that there was never a situation in which there was a risk that our healthcare system would be overwhelmed. And this is the basis of a pandemic, at least according to the German standards. If there's no risk of our healthcare system being overwhelmed by anything, there's no reason to announce a pandemic. On the other hand, he also details that the damage that the anti-corona measures are doing, both health-wise and, of course, as far as the economy are concerned, is so overwhelming that the entire all of these measures are not just illegal, they're unconstitutional, meaning they're void ab initio. And that's going to be really important. Of course, all the mainstream media are trying to make him into a, I don't know, a right-wing, anti-Semitic, Martian person, whatever. But he is strong. He is strong. That's what it takes. You have to be a strong, you have to have a strong personality in order to do this kind of thing. And I think many more judges are going to come out and do the same thing because, you know, if they don't, they're going to end up with no jobs. Because if this corporate elite, this oligarchy takes over, we don't have any courts anymore and no judges because they're going to tell us what to do. Probably in New Zealand as well, there's also this very strong religious or not religious, spiritual undertow that plays an ever more important role here. Because there's more than just the law at play here. There's much more than the law at play. And some of this has to do with the things that you can't really grasp physically, but that do play a role. Because as we all know, there's more between heaven and earth than what us lawyers can imagine in a rational way. So it does play a role, even though, of course, you can't write this into a complaint, but you have to take it into account. And I think it's going to be helpful from here on.
What would you say to people awake and aware of the issues?
Well, the thing is, this is a roller coaster ride. And I knew that right from the start, because there's a lot of preparation went into this massive takeover attempt, which is, I think, what we're dealing with. So they have had a head start. And we have to, it took us a while to organize ourselves, but never give up. There's no option. We have to win, and that's why we will win, because this is about humanity. It's about people acting like humans, not like robots. It's about empathy. We have empathy. They don't. They don't give a shit. They don't. They kill people. Just keep going and never give up. It'll get better. It is already getting better because more and more people are beginning to understand that this has nothing to do with health.
Thank you. Thank you, Rainer.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.